We welcome once again a wonderful artist, Angèle Yubeau, violinist, and her group La Pietà are the subject of this week's Crossover and their newest album, John Adams Portrait. Welcome to Crossover, Angèle.
Thank you.
Now, you have taken on a Herculean task. You did the wonderful Glass album, which was mesmerizing, then Arvo Pärt, and now John Adams. Was this supposed to be a trilogy about contemporary minimalism?
Well, that's for sure. It's three icons of contemporary music. And, you know, when I started this portrait with Philip Glass, I didn't know there will be a continuity with this, but honestly, I realized that, there was so, well, of course, I know for a long time, but there's so many composers, and there was, this response of the public, with this CD and with this idea of going and doing a musical portrait with a composer. Well, you know, seeing the response of the public, I decided, well, I think it's a good idea. So yes, after came Arvo Pärt, now it's John Adams, and it's not stopping. There will be a continuity in this, you know.
I have to tell you though, and this is from the bottom of my heart, your playing and the playing of the group is so exquisite that it really opens up the world of these rather esoteric composers, esoteric for most of the listening public. You know, they were kind of scared in the beginning. I think Glass has kind of, paved the road for many of the not so serious listeners to understand what mm-hmm. minimalism is all about. But your performances are really rather breathtaking, the quality of sound that you get from the whole ensemble, and then of course as a soloist, it is very difficult to play this music, isn't it?
It is. It is in many, many ways, of course. The first one would be, you know, it's to explore, for most of my musician in La Pietà, it's their first experience with that kind of music. And, so, you know, sometimes people forget about it, but I'm, yes, the soloist of the group, but I'm also doing the job of a conductor.
Yes.
So it means that I have to be, you know, convinced with my interpretation and give all this idea and give the indication of the sound, of the color, of the texture, of everything.
That's not indicated by the composer.
Well, some of it is already, you know, and well, I should say that in contemporary music, and that's for sure with Philip Glass and John Adams and Arvo Pärt, there's many, many indications on the score, but it's a guide because, you know, the beauty of the music is not to play always the same way. You know, it would be no point to have a 10 or orchestra doing the same work. The idea of all this and the beauty of the music, la grandeur de la musique, would be to just put into yourself into what you're doing. So it won't be the same reading. It won't be the same playing. And I think, you know, when I approach a composer, contemporary composer or a classical, composer, I will do it the same way. You know, first it's, has to be a music that speaks to me, a music that I will have something special to say. And from that on, of course, it's the same work. You have to take the work in little part and work with all those little details. But at the end, the result has to be just for the pleasure of it. And I think, you know, it's might be very anodin, but you know, I think it makes a little difference when we play with the Pietà, because this is a point that I really like from the musician. You know, I'm looking always for great virtuosity with the musicians, great musicality, human quality also. It's important when you work in a group. But I'm also looking always for that extra sparkle, I would call energy. And so when comes the time to play with La Pietà, I think you can hear this. There's that energy, and that you can feel the fun of doing it and playing it. We're, of course, after all those hours we put to work together with the same group, a small group.
And they're all women, aren't they?
All women, yeah. I don't know if it makes really a difference.
It's odd. I didn't even think about it at first.
Yeah, maybe there's a certain flair. I don't know. But to be honest, I haven't tried to play only with men, so I don't know. But women or men, you know, when you pass so many hours together, the result of it is when you play, you don't even sometimes have to speak. They understand.
Well,
they know in advance that you're gonna do this. So it's
they anticipate what you're gonna do.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, that's what I was trying to say.
Well, you know, what's very interesting is, first of all, would you say that John Adams is a minimalist, first of all? Do you think
in
the sense of glass?
No, I think John Adams, of course, had some influence. That's for sure. And as a matter of fact, John Adams has this, power of synthesizing all his baggage, all the historical, you know, baggage that he has. So you can have, yes, this knowledge of the past with minimalist, but also, you know, all the classical, music also, all his knowledge of historical, music. But he synthesized this with the research of the present, the présent. And that's, I think, one of the characteristic of John Adams, to be able to synthesize very well the knowledge of the past and the research.
Well,
of
in
the,
what
the
sense? In other words, in a descriptive sense, that he's describing something, or he had experienced something and he's putting it into music. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And also, well, you can feel when you listen to this, you can feel, you know, sometimes it's almost jazz. Sometimes mm-hmm. Of course, you know, there's some, if we take a particular work like this, the Shaker Loops.
Yes.
Shaker Loops, of course, is very near to minimalist. You know, you have this, all the loops with this undulation, the vibrations, the melodic waves, leaves, you know, place to leaves place to explore, then the spectrum of the instrument, of the orchestra. So it's, yeah, all those qualities
sounds,
are
yeah.
you link with minimalist. But if you take the John's book of alleged dance, you know, it has to be played with a record of loops, rhythm that are already prepared, and it gives this well, sometimes even funky rhythm, you know, it's really something, and those short dances, those short movements, are very, very descriptive titles. And so very descriptive with the music. You know, you have this, for example, small movement, which is, hammer and chisel. So yeah, it sounds like hammer and chisel.
Yes.
Or you have this other movement. It's a habanera.
That's fascinating. Yes.
Yeah, uh-huh. It is. And with the rhythm just going, with the string, it's a mix. It's just fantastic. And I don't think that, you know, when you listen to habanera, or when you listen to hammer or chisel, or another one that is very, very descriptive is Judah to Ocean, which is tramway in San Francisco.
Okay.
So it's, It's not minimalist. It's just, you know,
descriptive,
very concrete. Yeah.
Programmatic, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. So it's that all that baggage. That's what I mean by sanitizing all his knowledge.
That mm-hmm. goes beyond the minimalist then.
Exactly.
It tells a story. It's almost program music in a way.
Yeah. 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 In a way. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, what I wanted to ask was when you start, and you approach this music. Of course, you mm-hmm. have done this in a progressive way, so you're kind of coming from Glass, you know, to Pett and then to Adams, who actually adds, I guess, to the volume of information. Do you have to take it apart? You know, after all, you don't just sit down and read this thing. I mean, don't you kind of? This is some kind of a intellectual discovery, I guess.
Exactly. Yes. Well, you do have, of course, to be able to play, do a recording. And the first thing is to get as much as possible knowledge about the composer. And I mean, not only, you know, reading historically about him. I mean, listen to as much as possible music from John Adams. And then you get this feeling of what he is as a composer, then when you take the music, of course it's just, you know, the first reading is like in every interpretation, you know, you have to learn the notes, and you have to learn also the rhythm.
What is that? Is that the biggest challenge, because you never quite know where the beginning of the measure is?
Yeah, it's I should say, you know. Well, just to give you a very, very concrete explanation of the very difficulty of the rhythm. You know, a metronome, usually I change the battery of a metronome every, I don't know, 5 years, 6 years. I changed two in 2 months with John Adams.
well, I think that is what you really have hit on the most difficult part. Well, even in minimalist, because what happens is the beat comes in a different place, but the phrase sounds the same. So you never quite know where you are.
Exactly.
You listen to the melody, but it's not in the same place everywhere, the beginning of it.
Exactly. And it's just like, you know, if you go into a dance, but you don't know where's the downbeat,
that's
where
right.
to put the feet.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you're dancing with the rhythm and you cannot stop because it's just,
yes.
you know, entering you. It's just
yes,
in
yes.
you. And here you are just, you know, dancing, but no place to, no downbeat,
nowhere to start.
So,
yeah,
exactly. So it's why, you know, I always say that his music is also characterized by the exuberance yeah. of the rhythm. And you can feel it, that's for sure, in road movies. The first work that I'm doing on the CD is with Louise Bessette, a great pianist from Montreal. And it's a work for violin and piano. And road movies, you have, a center movement, which is really colorful and there's no big deal with the rhythm, what we're speaking about, but the first movement and the last movement, both those movements, the first movement, the title is Relaxed Groove, and the last movement is a 40% swing. Yeah, it's just an invitation to the infernal rhythm.
Well, what I was thinking is it's kind of, you get kind of hooked on it, and it's dizzying, and you lose your control in a way. I mean, mentally,
yeah.
isn't it like you're kind of whirling around in this pool, and you know that it's sounding right, but you don't know where you are.
Exactly. It's you know, as this frenetic
yes,
rhythm,
that's what it is.
But the thing is, believe me, you have to concentrate. So much. Yesterday night, I was playing in New York and I played road movies on stage. it's just amazing. You have to concentrate so much because there's so many plays. You have to be like really relaxed, relaxed groove that, like he's saying, or 40% swing.
Yeah.
But my God, you have this, implant of metronome inside you that is just, you know, giving you the beat. And you have to really stick to this, but as this freedom around it. So it's just to find the right combination. Same thing with the John's Book of Alleged Dances, where the rhythm is giving to you by this pre-recorded tape loops, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And but in, you know, when I play this habanera, of course you don't want to have a habanera played with a metronome. That's not what you want. So you have this you know, feeling of the dance of the habanera, but you have this this respectful rhythm that you have to be
stick to.
You know,
yeah.
with
yeah, yeah. Stay. Well, mm-hmm. you know, it's so hard to describe, I think, to someone who isn't a musician or who doesn't play it or who doesn't understand quite what you're talking about. But I think it's kind of like when you hear an improvisation in jazz, and if you sat down and tried to write it measure by measure, you don't play it that way. You got to get into it. You got to feel it, you know, like a slight delay or something like this. But when you actually put it down a dotted eighth or something like that, doesn't come off that way. And I think that's what is the danger when you're playing something like the minimalist composers all together, because you really, really have to hold yourself very, very close to what appears to be the rhythm. I mean, everything you've said, of course, that just confirms it, but it's very hard to even describe it to someone what you're going through.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's very Cartesian. It's very mathematical
yes,
in a
exactly
way. Structure, very well structured. But cannot sound like, you know, a
that
metronomic
is, yeah. mm-hmm.
thing. So the work, you know, I was saying with my story about the my metronome that I had to change the batteries 2 times in 2 months. It's just because that was my first work to do alone, at home.
Okay.
And to be so clear and so exact. So then after, when I come with the group, when I come to play on stage, I can forget about this rhythm. It's inside me. It's already, you know, it's really, because I work very, very hard with this. Then that's where you have this 40% swing. Then you can give this little,
a little extra.
Yeah, extra something.
Yes.
But to be able to give it and to feel it and have fun doing it, you do have to get to your metronome first. That's
yes,
for sure.
Yes. Now, again, the music itself, do you think it's important for people to read what his intention is, say, you know, that this is a description of, say, this subway or this monorail that goes to the ocean, or that when he lived in an apartment, I guess, behind the Surf Theater, you know, things like that. I guess it's helpful for people to visualize what he's trying to do.
Yes, but also at the same time, it's nice to know that there's no wrong answer to what it make you think of. Mm-hmm. You can listen to the same music, you know, let's put three different people listening to the same work. And one will see it in color. The other one will say, oh, for me, it's something, you know, remembers me, my last holiday, And the other one will say, oh, no, for me, it's really, this and this and this. There's no wrong answer. Music can make you, find your own images, your own souvenir. And that's wonderful. So, of course, if you want to know what the composer, was
had
his
in
inspiration,
mind.
So you can go and look at it. But, you know, maybe Judah to Ocean won't be the same feeling for everyone. And there's nothing wrong about that.
Well, that works with all kinds of music, I think. You know, we're starting with, I guess, Scarlatti or even Rameau, you know.
Yeah. But, and you know, it depends also the day you're listening to it. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes for me, some music will ring, you know, an emotion on that particular day or that particular moment. But then a month later, it will be something else. And, you know, it's music can express all the human emotion and everyone can vibrate to any of those.
Now, he said something that I read that he found, especially on this road movies, that writing melodically is very difficult. See, I think the elements of his writing and of minimalism in general are the same. It's a repetition or a repetition of a tonality. But he said writing melodically seems to be the most difficult, evidently, mm-hmm. quoting him. I suppose because the main elements of the writing are, I think, repetition and mm-hmm. pulsation, kind of, you know, rhythm. The tonality isn't the thing that gets you when you listen very, because it's repeated over and over and over again in many cases.
It's some like I was saying, shaker loops is more, you know, like repeat loop, yeah, repeat.
Well, that's
repeat
what a
pattern
loop is,
or,
I guess.
but it's not really. It's not like in let's compare with Philip Glass, you know, it's another portrait that I've done.
Yes.
And this is very different because the Philip Glass, you will have those little cells mm-hmm. add one to the other, mm-hmm. superposed, and it's, you know, two against three against four against five. It's really a structure, very, very Cartesian, in
so
that
it's,
way.
So it's in a sense easier to perform.
It's
in a sense, no,
yeah, maybe
fair.
In a sense, yeah. But then it's not only
easy.
That, but it's true. But when you come to John Adams, the pattern are never the same, the same. It's you know, when let's say when I started to work road movies, first sight reading, God, I thought, oh, what a crazy idea I got. I will be able to play it because it doesn't come, you know, there's no pattern. You usually, even for let's say for the fingers, you know, on the violin, there's sometimes pattern of you can say 1-4-5, 1-4-5, 1-4-5, and it loops like this. No, never does. It's the same, not for the fingers, not for the rhythm. There's always something
that's different.
Wrong about it.
Yeah.
Different. Mm. So the loop or not one to the other, it's really not this continuity, if I can say, flow. It's really a succession of entire loops or entire small moments, you know. It's really, really different. So then it takes time, like for the road movies, you know. I would say maybe the first 4 or 5 days I started to work on the road movies, I thought, God, is it, you know, it will come in my head one day or not? And then, pum, suddenly, I don't know, day six or something like this. Wow. Okay. I got it. And then you build on this, but it takes time because there's no pattern.
Now, do you think, that's very difficult. That's very, because everything is different. Each thing is different. You just can't sit back and relax. Do you think he kind of disposes of all the extraneous elements that we're used to in listening to music to reveal a kind of a central idea? I mean, I guess that I get that feeling that he just strips it bare and this is the idea and he repeats it over and over again. Is that something that you would associate with his writing?
Well, maybe, yeah, but you know, his writing is so different from one word to the other.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, yeah. So I wouldn't be able to make a statement of his music is this, blah, 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 and that's it. It's like I was saying, you know, is he rebel? Is he sage? Is he, you know, it's difficult to put an etiquette on him because he's many things at the same time. And like I was saying, he has this faculty of sensitizing many, many aspects of influence in music. So he's, you know, and I think that that's the richness of his, writing.
And certainly rhythm is one. What kind of a reaction do you get from the audience? Aside from wonder that you made it.
Well, you know, it's always, it's, well, I just, you know, the CD is just recently released, and we're just starting right now to play on stage the John Adams. So, it's new for me to do it on stage. And for sure, when comes the time to put the earphone. Because when we play on stage, we need to have this exact, you know, like I was saying, the pre-record tape loops that we have to play with. And I can see, I can feel that the reaction of the public, they are so, well, they don't know how to react. It takes one or two movements and then they go into it. But there's a reaction of they're surprised. You know, it's something new. It's something completely, I bring them with something completely new. And of course, if you go from John Adams to any, you know, classical, composer that you can think of, well, it's a unique voice, a unique signature. And that's one of the reasons why I choose John Adams or Arvo Pärt or Philip Glass when I'm thinking of this series is I was looking for unique signature, unique voice that you know, and of course you can listen to one of the three I just mentioned only for a few minutes and it becomes obvious you will recognize the composer,
the differences,
that's for sure.
Yeah.
But there's a reaction of surprise, but then the public just go into it and they love it.
Is this it for this series of portraits? Because they are contemporary composers and ones that have created a new voice in music. Do you intend to expand this series?
I have few in mind, and it will give me next chance to speak to you once more when I get to you with this new baby coming.
Wonderful, Aja. Of course, a pleasure and a pleasure to listen. I say to the musicianship that is revealed in your the quality of the sound, not only the accomplishment of making this music, but the ensemble together is really remarkable. And I thank you so much. This is a great contribution to the musical repertoire and the musical library that we have. We few stations that have classical music still work from. So thank you once again. We look forward to more coming from you and the very best of luck with this one.
Thank you. Au revoir.
A pleasure. Au revoir.